Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Twenty on the Wake Up Zone at 104.5 The Zone. Mark Howard along with Blaine Bishop. Let's bring in our buddy from VolQuest.com, Brent Hubbs. Hubbard, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How we doing?
Great. Brent, you've done this for a lot of years, so you understand it. But when I get on social media and I see alleged grown-ups losing their minds because Tracy Rocker watching his son and, you know, obviously an assistant coach at Tennessee, and James Franklin, the head coach of Penn State, you know, watching one of his best friends, Tim Corbin, both wearing black, obviously to support Vanderbilt, and people are losing their minds on social media. And I'm like, I mean, really? I mean, because we love football as much as anybody, but family and friendship, believe it or not, might actually be above that.
Well, it should be. And, I mean, listen, Vanderbilt fans, or I guess Penn State fans, were upset James Franklin was in black. And, I give James Franklin a ton of credit. I mean, that's a cool deal to go see Tim Corbin. And, you know, James Franklin and Tim Corbin changed the culture at Vanderbilt more than anybody else in terms of bringing a winning mentality and success to the field. And, you know, it was cool to see James Franklin there supporting his friend. As for Tracy Rocker, those saying something, you know, I've stood beside Tracy. I've watched Tracy coach. Go tell Tracy you got a problem with what he's worth.
Really?
Okay? Because I'd say the Outland Trophy winner could still take care of business if he needed to take care of business. Look, that's his son. And what a cool moment for him to get to watch his son pitch in an elimination game last night and to pitch the way he pitched and as well as he pitched. But, look, that's the world we live in. You know, I mean, Archie Manning got, you know, I won't say death threats, but he got a lot of hateful stuff when his son went to Tennessee, obviously. And, you know, that's part of it. But that's a single moment last night. Tracy Rocker's given everything he can to help Tennessee get better. And he wanted to support his son pitching in the national championship series last night. He should have been there. And good for him for being there. And who cares what he wore? I mean, it's, at the end of the day, does it really matter? And my answer to that is no, it doesn't really matter.
Great, and by the way, you know, VolQuest not only has, you know, the written information, you know, the stories and all that, but really a great podcast this week, Brent, that dropped yesterday, at least to me, you know, really fascinating about getting into the dynamics of what's going on in recruiting for Tennessee and the significance of getting Keyshawn Lawrence, a four-star safety out of Ensworth.
Well, no question. You got a couple things going on with Keyshawn Lawrence. First and foremost, the talent that he has. Okay, that's where you start with Keyshawn. He can play. He is the guy who has consistently gone out and ran good 40 times. He's been a 4-5 guy on a consistent basis and has gone from being a safety only type prospect to a guy who can play corner and can play nickel, and has got a lot more versatility because he's shown a lot more speed with that long range he's got at 6'2". So first and foremost, Tennessee went and got a much-needed player for their roster from a talent standpoint. Secondly, Keyshawn Lawrence is interesting because I think I said this on the podcast yesterday. If you walk into a room and there's eight people in the room and Keyshawn's one of them, four people or more are going to be standing next to Keyshawn talking to him. People kind of gravitate to him. And that's just his, by nature, he doesn't work the room. He doesn't come in and, you know, holler and let everybody know he's there. But everybody just kind of gravitates towards him. And I think that's why he's key for this class when you're looking at trying to get Omari Thomas and Chris Morris and Trayvon Ripka and Reggie Grimes and Jay Hardy, guys in state that this staff really wants. Keyshawn will have an effect there with those guys. Tyler Barron. Because of the relationship he has with him, he's known him for years. He's known him from the camp scene. I think getting him in the boat early, holding off Miami, getting a quality player who can help you recruit will really help this class. I think that's as big of a get as Tennessee and Jeremy Pruitt has had in state since he's been here.
Speaking to Brent Hubbs from VolQuest.com.
Speaking of that, man, recruiting, man, they've already got a commitment from 2021 and Elijah, I guess, Howard from, where does he go to school? Maybe Baylor or so? But tell us a little bit about this kid.
Well, Elijah's going to Webb, but is planning on transferring to Baylor and going to go down to school at Chattanooga. He missed a good bit of last season with a couple of nagging injuries. Elijah's interesting because people in East Tennessee, particularly in the Knoxville area, have known about him since he was in the 7th, 8th grade. Terrific speed. First time he touched the ball as an 8th grader, he played up into the high school ranks as a private school guy at Webb, at the Webb school. First time he touched it, he took it about 60 yards to the house. And guy's got good vision. He plays in a wing T flex bone type system at Webb. I think he, you know, has decided to move on and maybe branch out a little bit. But really good speed, really good kid, good athlete. Got to stay healthy, going to get bigger. I think he's, again, one of the priority guys in 2021. And Blaine, this goes back to what Jeremy Pruitt and his staff have been working on for the last year plus. You know, everybody was all, you know, worked up because that first full year, Jeremy Pruitt was hesitant about the in-state guys. He wanted guys to camp and all this other stuff. What they've been able to do over the course of the last year, a little more than a year, is to work ahead, to know who they like, and to start working on the 20s and the 21s. So it's not about coming and camping. They don't need to see Elijah Howard camp. Okay, he's been to Tennessee's camp. They know who he is. So you're not asking a senior to be to camp to try to figure out how much you like him or not. They've been that way with their class of 2020. It's paying off, and they're certainly ahead in the class of 2021, which is good for them.
How quickly do you think Tyler Barron will be a Vol?
You know, I like where Tennessee's at with him right now. In terms of when he wants to do something, you know, I don't foresee anything in you know, this month. I think, you know, probably in July. I do think he wants to have it done before he gets into scrimmage time and really preparing for his senior year at Catholic. So I think he'll do something next month. I think Tennessee's done a good job recruiting him. And I think obviously the ties to Keyshawn Lawrence and the other ties that he has out there are going to be big for Tennessee and helping them, you know, maybe land Tyler Barron. I think they've weathered some storms, and I think things are going pretty well with Tyler Barron right now.
All right, we're going to go another round with Brent, talk to him more about recruiting, about the Vols, and, of course, the NBA draft involving UT players. No Hollywood Nights here. 8:34 on the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone. Mark Howard along with Blaine Bishop, our producer Jonathan Schaefer, and, of course, our second segment with Brent Hubbs of VolQuest.com.
Hey, Brent, man, we haven't talked about it, but Cooper May's commitment, what does that do for the class as well as their ranking, man? Because they may finish up pretty high in the ranking after this 2020 class is done with.
Well, they got a chance. They're on a lot of really good players from a ranking standpoint. We'll see how they finish, but they certainly have a chance to be you know, on the cusp of the top 10. It's certainly going to be in the top 15, and we'll see how it finishes with some guys that they're on. But as for Cooper, you know, I wrote this on the day he committed, and I give two people a lot of credit for this. One, Cooper Mays for being open and willing to let Tennessee recruit him. And Tennessee, a ton of credit for making Cooper a priority for Cooper. You know, we were talking as I came on in the first segment about social media reaction. I mean, Cooper Mays took a beating from Tennessee fans when his brother went to Georgia. It was ugly, and Tennessee fans were mad. They're still mad about it. I get it. They didn't want a legacy guy to flip on him and go to Georgia. But Jeremy Pruitt told Cooper Mays in the house when he had the in-home with Cade, and Cade told him they were going to Georgia. He told Cooper, he said, "I'm coming for you. You're important for us. You're a priority for us. I'm going to get you." And Cooper was willing to listen, despite some criticism he took. He was open to it, came over in the spring, started developing relationships with the staff, really likes Will Friend. Tennessee done a really good job recruiting him. Cooper was very open to Tennessee, and as a result, Tennessee's landed a center for the future in Cooper Mays.
One more question, I guess. It's not necessarily on the recruiting side of it, but I know all the schools are, you know, trying, or if not already, you've gotten alcohol sales that are going to be available at the stadium. I think I've asked you about that. But how are they going to regulate to make sure some of these guys are of age there, Marky Mark?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, that's always going to be a challenge because, you know, somebody can go buy it for somebody and hand it to them in the stadium. Those are the same people that were probably smuggling it in anyway. you know, and so, you know, I think it's a situation where, you know, you're not going to have to change a whole lot of police presence. You just have to keep an eye on things. And, you know, there's, you know, you can ID when you purchase, but you can't, you know, you can't prevent who they're going to give it to when they get in the stand. So I think that's something all the schools are looking at. I think the SEC still has some concerns about it. They've got some regulations they want in place, and I think schools and the SEC are still in some discussions about that, you know, versus, you know, plastic bottles and cans versus a pour you know, all of this type of stuff. So I think that everybody's moving in that direction. That's what they're going to do because there's too much money on the table for it. I think it's going to be interesting to see what kind of rules and regulations everybody has for it moving forward. But in terms of your question, I don't know that you can ultimately prevent it because people are going to share much the same way they smuggled it in and shared for years.
I'm sure none of us involved with this show ever had a fake ID when they were in college.
Oh, I did not. I did not.
I didn't. Mark, you're outing yourself here,
yeah,
man.
Well, mm-hmm. Perhaps. Brent, any worries about the knee procedure that Juwan Jennings is going to undergo or has?
You know, I mean, not specifically that procedure. I think the worry is the fact that the knee's just problematic, and it's unfortunate for him that he's not been able to get completely healthy with that knee. You're now in multiple procedures, and, you know, I just think that's something they're going to have to manage, and he's going to have to manage. He really wants to play this fall. He wants to be ready to go, and he will be ready to go. But they're going to have to be cautious with him in camp and not overwork him and not overdo it with him. And I think he probably understands that he's going to spend a lot of time in the ice tubs, and he's going to have to heat it up and manage it just because the knee's, you know, clearly got some degenerative issues going on that, you know, this is not a, hey, everything's fine. When you have this many procedures on the knee, you've obviously got some, you know, some long-term effects that the knee's just going to be a little bit problematic to you. You've got to manage it in terms of rehab and, you know, keeping it loose and all that type of stuff.
Got to ask you about the NBA draft. Turned out about the way we thought. Grant Williams, though, going to a place that they seem to value him, the Celtics, and Admiral Schofield and Jordan Bone both going in the second round. What was your take on that?
Well, I think Grant's landed at a great place. I'm a Brad Stevens guy. I like Coach Stevens. I think he's a good basketball coach. You know, the Celtics are a little more fundamental than some other teams in the NBA maybe are when you look at style of play and what they do, and it probably fits Grant best. So I think that's a great landing spot for Grant in terms of how they want to play the game of basketball. You know, in terms of Admiral and Jordan, you know, opportunities, they're going to have to go earn it. That's what you do in the second round, and that's part of it. I think Admiral probably got hurt a little bit with his defense. He didn't play great defense at times last year on the perimeter. A little bit of concern there, but everybody knows how hard he's going to work. And I think Jordan Bone is ready to show everybody that, you know, he bet on himself. He made a good bet, and he's going to go out and prove to everybody he made the right move. And I look for him to be a guy that generates some buzz, you know, early on this summer and in camp with teams, because I think he's going to play really well.
Brent, when do you think we hear on the basketball front about Virginia Tech transfer Kerry Blackshear?
You know, that's the million-dollar question everybody has. You know, Virginia Tech's waiting to hear. They're obviously publicly recruiting him on social media. His teammates are trying to get him to come back. Florida's very much lurking in the weeds. Tennessee is in it. You know, I thought we might have heard something Monday or Tuesday, maybe by the end of this week. I just think when you look at the calendar, you know, schools are going to have a decision out of him because roster management, figuring out where you are, what you're doing. I mean, you need to make that decision pretty quick. First session summer school ends at most places, you know, the end of this week, heading into July 4th. So I think he's got to have a decision made next week. And quite frankly, he needs to be on campus somewhere next week, wherever he's going to play, and start to get to know his teammates and, you know, work out with coaches, learn the system, and start to figure out kind of how teams, you know, whoever he lands is going to use him and what they're going to do with him. So I think he's got to get something done this week, but I thought it would already be done, to be honest with you.
Brent Hubson, VolQuest.com. Great stuff as always, and we'll speak to you next week.
Hey, everybody tell Kevin not to have too many Hollywood nights in Omaha, okay?
Exactly, exactly. He's going to live it up, hopefully.
I know how hard he goes after it, so he needs to be careful out there, okay?
He's the king of the triple spillage, right?
Absolutely.
Triple spillage.
Tell him to have the right cup in hand when he spills.
That's right. Gentlemen. Thanks, Brent.
Appreciate it, Brent.
See you guys.
Ingram, I'm telling you, he needs to trademark that, triple spillage. We'll have to talk to him about that.